For example, we have the following verse in the Holy Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul alhamdulillah. Say alhamdulillah. Praise belongs to God. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. And peace be upon the chosen servants of God. So this is not something specifically to the imams, right? But we do have, specifically we have references in the Quran regarding the infallibles, such as the prophets, and God sends his salam upon them. For example, regarding the prophet Jesus, we have the following verse, وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ وُلِدَ وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ حَيَّا. Peace be upon him the day he was born, the day he died, and the day he will be raised alive. Right? Or this might be regarding the prophet John, the prophet Yahya. In any case, so this is from the Quran. We also have, of course, many of the alayhis salams that are mentioned in hadith are not actually the words of the imams themselves. Rather, they are the people who wrote those hadiths. The people who wrote those hadiths, they kind of added them to the riwayat, the traditions themselves. But we do have certain cases where the alayhi salam mentioned is actually the words of the imam himself. For example, we have in the following prayer, the phrase alayhi salam is mentioned after reference to the prophet. In this dua, in this prayer, we read, "Wa ashrikna fi salihi man da'aka," until it gets to this part of the prayer. It says, "Wa inda qabri nabiyyik alayhi salam." Right. So here, the imam specifically mentions the prophet, and then after that, subsequent to that, he recites the phrase alayhi salam. Or, for example, we have the following prayer. رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ نَبِيًّا. Right? And then it continues, it says, وَبِإِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أَبًا. Right, so it references the Prophet, it says, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, it references Prophet Abraham, and then it says, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Right, these are indications that, you know, this behavior and this conduct or this habit of saying, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, after the names of the Aimma alayhi wasalam, the prophets, as well as the and other people like the Lady Fatima, this is a Quranic, this is something that has a basis in the Quran and the Hadith. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the usage of the phrase alayhi salam in the light of the Quran and Hadith. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
In the limelight.
While many British households will struggle to pay energy bills this winter, gas giant BP achieved an $8.2 billion in profits in the third quarter. Britain is facing a severe energy crisis exacerbated by anti-Russian sanctions and a sharp decrease in Russian energy supplies. In this regard, we have taken a look at some world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of Truth Out wrote, "The London-based oil and gas giant BP reported that it brought in a staggering $8.2 billion in profits in the third quarter, more than doubling its total from the same period last year, amid Europe's worsening cost-of-living crisis. The company announced it will be using its banner profits to buy back $2.5 billion worth of its own stock, rewarding shareholders as millions of people across the UK are having trouble heating their homes ahead of the winter season. According to the Financial Times, BP has repurchased more than $10 billion of its shares this year. The advocacy group Global Witness estimates that BP's $27 billion in profits over the past 12 months could pay the energy bills of 9.4 million UK households. Big fossil fuel firms making eye-watering profits is a slap in the face for the millions of citizens struggling to heat their homes, cook their meals, or buy everyday essentials, said Jonathan Noroha Gand, senior fossil fuels campaigner at Global Witness, adding, as winter fast approaches, a dividing line is emerging. Whose side is the government on? Brits facing financial hardships or an industry that's making billions in profits off the current energy crisis? The UK's Conservative government unveiled a windfall profit tax on energy companies in May, but it has thus far had little impact on oil giants. Shell reported last week that it had paid nothing in windfall taxes in the country, and BP said it expects for fork over $800 million, a fraction of the gains it has reaped from global energy market chaos spurred by the Russia-Ukraine crisis. BP's latest earnings announcement sparked calls for a more aggressive windfall tax, as Jeremy Hunt, the UK's Chancellor of the Exchequer, is expected to unveil a new economic plan later this month. The Guardian reported that Hunt is considering increasing the windfall tax by up to 5 percentage points to 30% and extending its lifespan by 3 years to 2028. The government of new right-wing Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is also facing pressure to reverse plans for deep public spending cuts, which could be devastating for millions of people across the country. Freya Atchison, oil and gas campaigner at Friends of the Earth Scotland, said in a statement that the announcement of yet another obscene profit for a climate-wrecking oil firm highlights the scale of the pain that these companies are inflicting on the public. While fossil fuel companies are being allowed to make record-breaking profits, households are facing astronomical energy bills and millions are being pushed into fuel poverty, Atchison said, adding, bosses and shareholders at these big polluters are being allowed to get even richer by exploiting one of our most basic needs. BP is also worsening climate breakdown and extreme weather by continuing to invest and lock us into new oil and gas projects for decades to come. BP's profit report came just hours after U.S. President Joe Biden warned fossil fuel giants that he has prepared to support a windfall profit tax if the companies continue gorging on their own stock while refusing to lower costs for consumers. Biden, in a speech at the White House, said, "Oil companies' record profits today are not because they are doing something new or innovative. Their profits are a windfall of war." Murray Achiklas, BP's chief financial officer, declined to comment on Biden's speech when pressed by Reuters. In a statement recently, Danielle Willis of the UK-based advocacy group Global Justice Now noted that Chevron, ExxonMobil, BP, Shell, and Total Energies have announced combined profits of more than $170 billion this year. To put this into perspective, that is more than $116 billion a year that loss and damage are estimated to cost the Global South to date, Willie said, adding, It doesn't take much to connect the dots to see what's happening here. When fossil fuel companies are announcing record profits just days before COP27, it's high time leaders join those dots once and for all, too, and make polluters pay up for loss and damage. It's clear they can afford to, and a polluter tax could help reduce household energy bills closer to home as well. People here and the Global South have one thing in common when it comes to companies like BP. They're ripping us off and think they can keep getting away with it at the expense of people and the planet, Willis added. It's high time we showed them the game is up. RT had a report on the UK energy crisis, writing, UK households face very, very hard winter. Brits will have to pay twice as much for energy in the coming month, the operator National Grid has warned. Many British households will struggle to pay energy bills this winter that could be double what they are accustomed to. Despite a government price cap, the National Grid CEO John Pettigrew has warned. In an interview with the Financial Times, he said he was under no illusions and that Brits would find the upcoming winter financially very, very hard. Even with the taxpayer-funded price cap, this is a doubling up of what people are used to paying for their energy bills, Pettigrew said, adding, therefore, inevitably, there are going to be people who are going to struggle. The British government has capped the unit cost of energy until April, meaning that an average household would pay about £2,500 over a year on average. But last winter, the equivalent amount was £1,277. Each household will also receive a £400 rebate on utility bills, with additional means-tested payments through social security benefits. However, that will still be unable to make up the difference given the soaring energy prices. Pettigrew said the National Grid was working on a number of emergency plans to protect the UK against a shortfall of energy from Europe. Earlier, the grid operator's boss warned that the country could face power cuts on really cold evenings this winter due to Europe's continuing energy squeeze. He said that rolling blackouts could happen during those deepest, darkest evenings in January and February, likely between 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Such measures were unlikely, according to Pettigrew, who warned, however, that there were potential scenarios where Britain's power generators would fail to secure sufficient supplies from Europe. Normally, during the coldest months and extreme weather events, the UK imports gas and electricity from continental Europe for its gas-fired power plants. However, this year, European countries are themselves facing a severe energy crisis, exacerbated by anti-Russian sanctions and a sharp decrease in Russian energy supplies.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. today's lesson, love and worship. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. Man possesses another inborn desire, which is not of the same form as the demand to know, to have ability or to be aware of and to conquer the world. The desire to attract, to be attracted and to unite is related to existence and understanding. As this desire has not become clear for the psychologist and psychoanalysis, and a sufficient discussion and research has not been made with regard to it, it is difficult to clarify and explain it because of that. Now, deep inside, each person finds that he or she likes something and someone, as though the latter constantly draws his spirit toward itself or himself. It's like a powerful magnet, the feeling of attracting someone or being attracted to someone. This attraction and drive has various degrees and signs. Differences of degrees are so much that they create doubts in their substantial unity. The most salient manifestation of innate affection can be raised in a mother. Its sign is that a mother enjoys caressing and taking care of her child. Motherly affection is one of the most glorious manifestations of innate love. Its manifestations have always been described and have been praised by the poets and writers. The same holds true for father's love towards his child or towards his children. Love and worship is something that is inborn, found inside the very being of a human being. They always have it, the feeling of being attracted and the feeling of attracting someone. The need to attract someone is something that builds within us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. We are talking about love and worship. When we're talking about love, we're talking about a pool, an energy that exists in every human being. And it's an energy that can be explained like it's the desire to pull, the desire to attract someone, and also the desire to be attracted. A similar form of affection does exist among the children. The desire to be attracted, the desire to attract, exists among the children. It also exists within the parents, the sisters, the brothers that we live with, and, you know, any other family member around who are tied together with a specific natural bond, the blood bond. Another manifestation of this can be viewed among fellow creatures that are linked by the general relationship of human beings. This affection is increased in intensity in other forms of human relationship, such as being fellow city people, you know, being neighbors, someone who lives in the same city that you're living in, definitely has more affection to you than the one who is not living in the city. You could be knowing someone, but he's not from your city. Or maybe he's not your neighbor. It's not someone you know. It's not someone you're connected to physically or geographically or anyhow. But having someone who lives with you in the same city, who is your neighbor, being of the same age, being man and wife, being of the same religion and of the same ideology, all this can be added to it, definitely builds an affection that exists between these two particular sides, these two particular parties. Another expression of affection is in man's attachment to objects, which he uses in his material life, and to which he is linked by the way they can fulfill his living requirements. Examples are attachment to property, like wealth, like clothes, cars, you know, anything that this particular person can use to fulfill his living requirement. All this builds and brings about love and affection towards something. So you can have an affection towards someone or an affection towards something, depending on how you need it to help you in your life.
In the modern era, man has reached ever new technological heights unprecedented in history. We can now communicate and interact with those halfway around the world with ease, manage workloads with a click of a finger, or access information and news in a matter of seconds. Perhaps a world without electronic technology would be unimaginable. But this miraculous blessing has a very, very dark and toxic underbelly. I'm Zarin Shajeri, and this is Aperture. The electronic technology we are so dependent on creates waste unseen in the Earth's history. Every year, up to 50 million tons of electronic waste, computers, television sets, mobile phones, and household appliances are thrown away by consumers in the developed countries. 75% of this waste disappears from the legal recycling circuit, much of it dumped illegally in the third world. Stay with us as this week's documentary spans the world to reveal how greed and corruption are ruining the globe's legal recycling systems, damaging the environment, creating security risks, and endangering human health.
We produce up to 50 million tons of e-waste every single year, and our discarded appliances increasingly end up in places like the dump site in Africa. We first came here 3 years ago, while risking serious health problems such as cancer and brain damage. Since then, the situation has worsened dramatically. The amount of e-waste coming into Africa has almost doubled. And also in Europe, South America, and Asia, the discarded symbols of our modern lifestyle are corroding landscapes and poisoning the soil, water, and air.
It's a crime. I mean, this is a crime of mammoth proportions.
E-waste trafficking is huge and said to be bigger than the drugs trade. Even though the export of e-waste has been banned for more than 30 years, thousands of e-waste containers cross the oceans every year. And the toxic tide is set to rise even further, because in spite of the crisis, the sale of electronics is booming and emerging markets are coming on board. All contribute to a growing mountain of e-waste to which we can no longer turn a blind eye.
It's like a doctor looking at a patient who's bleeding profusely and saying, oh, it's not so bad. When I hear people like that, I say, just go. Just take a plane and go look for yourself and tell me that's not a problem.
All over the world, law enforcement, environmental activists, customs officials, and undercover investigators are fighting to stop the traffickers.
Para ese tipo de personas, el futuro no cuenta. Lo que cuenta es el beneficio inmediato.
The battle is difficult to win because of the huge profits to be made and the corruption involved.
C'est tout un système de montage avec des sociétés écrans. Là, on peut parler de système mafieux.
Can we stop the toxic tide before it is too late? Mike Anane is a Ghanaian environmental journalist and activist. He has made it his personal mission to stop the influx of e-waste to his country. He has discovered that many of the computers dumped here still bear the names of their original owners in Europe and the US.
I'm looking for the asset tags or the property tags. Yes, it gives a lot of indication and provide a clue as to who owned it, who used it.
Mike told me that he had a plan. He wanted to take his collection of tags on a journey of investigation.
The idea is to take these things back to the previous owners, the original owners. And these are e-waste that belong to people in the UK. I'll ask them questions as to how these things got to Ghana, if they have any idea.
Somebody has to pay for these things because the environmental and health consequences are enormous. They are killing people here. They should be responsible.
Mike is taking several pieces of e-waste to the UK. The first one originally belonged to Leeds City Council.
Dear Mr. Councillor, my name is Mike Anani. I would like to come and see you to show you what I found and to investigate how your discarded computer equipment found its way to Ghana. This is the moment that I have been waiting for, to listen to their side of the story.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleased to meet you. Councillor David Blackburn, if you want to come this way with me.
Okay. I collect the asset tax of some of the e-waste that gets dumped in Ghana.
Royal College of Nursing, yes. HMS Customs at Thames Valley.
South Bank University.
South Bank University, that's in London. So you've got a fair spread of England, you know.
Let me show you the place where I found this equipment.
This is where I keep the e-waste that have asset tags or property tags. You know, when you look at this, for instance, it says Leeds City Council. It should have been disposed of in that city of Leeds.
Terrible, huh? Terrible. Yeah, not acceptable at all. Is this the same all over Africa? Or is there specific parts of Africa where we're having problems with it?
We have Nigeria and, of course, Ghana. Yeah, these two countries are the major countries that receive electronic waste.
We've researched as far as we can that particular piece of waste from the serial number they can date it. But, I mean, we're talking 20 years ago. And as I said, at that time, I mean, the ethical, what was thought to be ethical was, we'll recondition them and give them to charities that can't afford their own computers. But I don't think anybody actually thought the thing through, that what happens when it is no longer in use.
The records of the donations no longer exist, so Councillor Blackburn can't tell Mike which computer went to which charity. The trail has gone cold. Mike tries to trace back more of the tags he has found in Ghana.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Anani. I'm trying to reach 212 regarding some recycling issues. You happy? Is anybody around?
Yeah, at the moment, basically two teams have gone into administration and will be taken over by Daisy.
Mm-hmm. All recyclers involved were closed down or sold on years ago.
This number is for sale. For information, call Odin.
After a whole week in the UK trying to trace back the tags, Mike still doesn't know who sent the e-waste to Ghana.
I'm very much disappointed. I have been to several places and the usual excuses, it's been 20 years or we give them to charity. And I find these excuses rather funny. Yeah, because it doesn't take away the problems, it doesn't take away their complicity, and it doesn't take away the fact that they are to be blamed.
Uncovering the e-waste traffic is not as simple as Mike had expected, but he is determined to continue his investigation. E-waste trafficking has been illegal since 1989, when the Basel Convention was signed, the first international treaty banning the trafficking of any kind of toxic waste. To date, 190 countries have signed it, amongst them China and Ghana. The European Union, too, has written the Basel Convention into its laws, prohibiting the export of e-waste. In other words, all EU waste should be recycled in Europe. A system has been designed In Europe, when a consumer buys a new appliance, the purchase price includes a recycling levy. For instance, the price of a fridge includes a levy of up to 20 euros. Around 4 billion euros are collected this way in Europe every year. This money is used by the industry to run a system which collects, sorts, transports, and recycles our appliances. That's why we can hand them back for recycling for free when we discard them. Thousands of highly specialized recycling plants have been set up all over Europe. Here, the e-waste is treated without harming the workers or the environment. Professional recyclers can get a whole range of valuable materials out of our discarded appliances. But recyclers all over Europe are complaining that their plants are not running to full capacity. And the European Union estimates that at least two-thirds of European e-waste never make it to an official recycling plant. Spain is one of the worst affected countries. So what's going wrong? Belén Ramos works for OQ, Spain's biggest consumer association. She wants to find out why Spanish e-waste is not getting to the recycling plants through an experiment. Belén and her team are installing satellite trackers inside discarded appliances that could have come from any of our homes. In total, 16 pieces have been fitted with trackers. The plan is to hand them in for recycling all over the country and see if they find their way to a recycling plant or not. Soon, all the pieces of e-waste with the hidden trackers inside are distributed all over the country. All of them are sending regular satellite signals. This morning, there is news from the city of Granada, where a computer with a tracker was handed in for recycling. The satellite picture shows clearly that the new location of the computer is an abandoned lot and not a recycling plant. In a country with 26% unemployment and paltry benefits, some have turned to e-waste theft to survive. Security cameras and metal gates failed to deter the thieves. Fences are simply cut to provide access 24 hours. The copper cone inside a TV set can be sold to a scrap dealer for 2 euros. A fridge will yield up to 10 euros, and a system unit 4 euros. But theft from collection points is not the only way e-waste is disappearing. In 2011, the Spanish Environmental Police discovered that 500,000 fridges had been siphoned off the official system and dumped. The case became known as Operation Fragmento, Spain's first high-profile e-waste case. A large criminal network, which included staff at collection points, recycling plants, and transport firms, had taken the recycling levy and then illegally scrapped the fridges. Their profit, 10 million euros. The case is currently pending trial. The final balance of Belén's tracker experiment, only 4 of the 16 pieces made it to authorized recycling plants. All others were scrapped illegally. That's 75%. But none of Belén's trackers have appeared outside of Spain. So how does European e-waste end up in the third world? An answer can be found in France. Here, in March 2010, the Gendarmerie discovered a huge warehouse full of e-waste, tucked away in a small town. Captain Doblemont was in charge of the investigation. So where did all this e-waste come from, and where was it going? D3E Recyclage had collected electronics for recycling from all over the region. Clients included public institutions, hospitals and prisons, and even the gendarmerie itself. The e-waste came flooding in for one reason. Under French law, companies have to pay for their old equipment to be recycled, but D3E offered an irresistible deal. Free recycling of monitors, which would normally have cost around €5 each to recycle. Nobody thought this was a deal too good to be true, because the paperwork provided by D3E Recyclage looked totally convincing. They even listed individual serial numbers, claiming that everything had been recycled according to the law. For several years, D3E operated calmly under the radar. Not a single inspection took place, which would have revealed that they didn't have any recycling equipment whatsoever. D3E may have only been a small company, but they were part of an international e-waste trafficking ring covering three continents. When Captain Doblemont discovered that the waste had left France for Belgium, he contacted Interpol for help. A huge international network began to reveal itself. The French monitors had been sold for between 50 cents and €2 a piece to a company in Belgium called Mobo. The investigators traced the head office of Mobo to Luxembourg. A truly international network was uncovered. Mobo and Luxembourg bought e-waste not only from France, but also from Croatia and the UK. They used a Romanian company for packing and logistics. The e-waste was exported from Holland to Hong Kong, Vietnam, and the Arab Emirates. The shareholders are based in the US, in Delaware, a notorious fiscal paradise. The French e-waste suppliers have been sentenced and their fake recycling company shut down. But Mobo continue to trade, advertising their services on sites such as Alibaba.com, where e-waste from all around the world is traded freely and without borders. Thousands of e-waste containers leave Europe every year. This not only causes environmental damage, it also affects the economy. This was a major reason why, in 2008, the European institutions in Brussels started work on a new, more stringent version of the EU e-waste directive.
10% of all the gold in the world goes to electronics, and most of it then disappears. And the same with silver, with copper.
Every year, Europe dumps millions of tons of e-waste, including the valuable resources inside.
I think everybody needs to wake up to the fact that in 20 or 30 years, the world is going to have a huge resource crisis. And Europe in particular is very vulnerable. We import 6 times more than we export.
Europe currently spends €130 billion a year on importing strategic metals, even though some of this demand could be covered with recycled e-waste instead. This refinery in Belgium extracts copper, tin, silver and gold from old electronics and processes them for resale. 50,000 mobile phones yield 1 kilogram of gold and 10 kilograms of silver, worth about €40,000. Currently, only 1% of mobile phones are recycled in Europe. This means that we're actually sitting on a veritable mine of precious metals and valuable rare earths. In January 2012, the European Parliament passed the new e-waste directive. The new goal is to increase e-waste recycling in Europe by making it easier for consumers to hand back their waste and by keeping the waste in Europe through stricter export controls at the harbours. But how easy is it to stop an e-waste container from leaving? Mike Anane has travelled to Scotland to meet the Environmental Protection Agency.
Historically, it's been West Africa, primarily Nigeria, but over the last few years, we have noticed an increase to Ghana.
What are the usual tricks that these illegal exporters use?
For example, changing the container drop-off point to the last minute so as we can't be there to check, or potentially having material in the first few rows of the container that are working order, but some material sitting behind that that's not working order.
Only functional second-hand equipment can legally be exported from Europe. Everything else is seized.
So do you test every single equipment for functionality?
Not every single equipment. The amount of exports that takes place and the resource, it wouldn't be cost-effective. We have to use our resources effectively.
The team use a video camera to look inside the container and to see if any of the contents look like e-waste.
You were checking a 40-footer container, but the camera was not long enough to the end of the container.
It's another indication. That's why the majority of our effort goes into the use of intelligence and the use of inspections at an earlier stage. We've already had information from that exporter to show that each of the fridges had been tested, but that was a spot check to ensure that the paperwork they'd given us matched up.
Mike is not impressed. The Scottish authorities, making the best of their resources, rely on information from the exporters themselves to stop any illegal shipments. The container was released for export soon after.
For me, I would say that the controls that I saw at the port in Scotland was not good enough. Every single item would have to be checked for functionality, particularly of the contents. If it's refrigerators, if it's television sets or computers, they would have to find out whether they are working in good working order before they're shipped or whether they're just junk.
In spite of all European laws, Europe's harbours are clearly overwhelmed by the sheer number of e-waste containers being exported. What about a country that produces more e-waste than anyone else on the planet and hasn't banned its export? The US produces a staggering 9.5 million tons of e-waste a year. A lot of this is collected by recyclers, for instance, at so-called recycling rallies, where people are invited to donate their discarded electronics to charity. Most people don't know is that a lot of US e-waste is headed straight for the third world.
If you were to go out on the street and ask people, what do you think happens when you take your old computer to a recycler, they'll just say it gets recycled. Very few know that most of these so-called recyclers in the United States don't recycle, they just export.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, respected listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And here we are again with some of our students from Sevier International School, Brother Hussein Rohullah and Fawad Haider and Brother Hassan Nasrullah. And I'm going to say hello to them, inshallah. Then we will be here with you with our next session. So, hello, Hussein Rohullah, how are you doing?
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Assalamu
alaikum. Fine, sir. How are you?
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider,
fine. How are you? How are you?
Alhamdulillah. I'm good. Hassan Nasrullah, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. So, today, inshallah, the same as our previous sessions, we'll be working on one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah and we'll, inshallah, carry on. So, alhamdulillah, today we are going to, inshallah, practice and work on Ayah 32 and Ayah 33 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So, make sure you stay with us, inshallah, till the end of this session. So, Hassan, Hussein, and Fawad, are you ready, inshallah, to listen to these two verses of the Quran Kareem from Surah Al-Baqarah?
Yes.
Let's go.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Qalu subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Qala ya وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون.
Now I will be inshallah reciting the same as the previous sessions. You will be repeating. Is that okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا.
قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا.
إنك أنت العليم الحكيم.
إنك أنت العليم الحكيم.
قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم.
قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم.
فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ
فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ
قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض.
قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض.
إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون.
إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون.
أحسنتم. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. In the previous ayah, we learned about the challenge, yes? So now we will take a look at who wins the challenge, okay? When Allah Almighty asked the angels, okay, to say the names, the knowledge, okay, to present their knowledge, okay, they said that we know nothing except the things that you have taught us, okay? Comparing to the knowledge that Allah Almighty had given to Adam, the knowledge that the Adam alayhi salam had, the human being, okay? So the knowledge of the angels were nothing. So, okay, Allah Almighty had especially blessed Adam alayhi salam, the human being, okay, with knowledge, divine knowledge. So the angel, when Allah Almighty asked them to present their knowledge, okay, say these names, okay? The names, the things that I have given to Adam, can you say them? If you're saying that, if you're claiming that you're better than Adam, so say this. Remember that Allah Almighty had given permission to the angels to talk, to ask questions. Otherwise, they will never do anything without the command or without the permission of Allah Almighty. Okay? So, the angels, they say that, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ Okay? لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا We don't have any knowledge, okay? We don't have any knowledge. إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا Except what you have taught us. So we don't know these things that Adam know. It means we don't have that knowledge. Okay?
Yes.
They said that, Immaculate are you, or Subhana, glory to you, okay? We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ Indeed, you are the all-knowing. You are the all-wise. So look, the angels admit that Allah Almighty has the all knowledge and Allah Almighty knows Adam is better than angels. Because he created them. He created him better than angels.
Yes.
So Allah Almighty has not created the, for example, whatever on earth or whatever in the skies for the angels. Rather, هو الذي خلق لكم. Allah Almighty created for us, for the human beings. Yes, Fawad is so much happy that, oh, Allah Almighty has created everything for me. But you have to be very much careful, okay? There is a reason behind this. That we have to get closer to Allah Almighty himself. Perfection, okay? That is the reason behind. So, then, قَالَ in the next ayah, قَالَ يَا Adam. Now, Allah Almighty asks Adam alayhi salam that, oh, Adam alayhi salam, okay? And بِأُولِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ You say these things that I have given you, okay? Say them to the angels. Let them know that you are better than them, okay? So, فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ When the Adam alayhi salam, okay, informed them of their names, the names of the things that Allah Almighty had given the knowledge to Adam alayhi salam, okay? بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ The angels accepted this, okay? They understood that, yes, Adam alayhi salam is better than us, okay? Then Allah Almighty said that, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ Allah Almighty said that, didn't I tell you that I indeed have the knowledge of the unseen in the heavens and the earth? Allah Almighty says that, didn't I tell you that I know everything, okay? I know who is better. I know who has the knowledge. I know who does not have the knowledge, okay? Then, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ And I know whatever you disclose, it means you do, like in public, for example. Whatever you do, not hiddenly, okay? And whatever you do hiddenly. So Allah Almighty knows everything. So who won the challenge? Who won the challenge? Fawad won the challenge. So human being, of course, okay?
Yes.
Won the challenge. So our superiority, again, I tell you, is and the divine soul that Allah Almighty has given. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ And also what? The knowledge that Allah Almighty has given, okay?
So having more knowledge is equal to having more sawab.
Yeah, of course it is. But it depends on what knowledge.
Like the more good knowledge you have, the more sawab you have.
If you have a knowledge that kills humanity, instead of reward, you will have punishment.
And
knowledge should be the knowledge that helps you go to perfection, get to perfection. That's that knowledge. So inshallah, in the coming session, we will be talking more about this, okay, about the story of Adam alayhi salam and the angels. The prostration. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
So now, Fawad Haider قالوا سبحانك سبحانك the first rule is the letter ba which has like the قلقلة rule right سبحانك قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا this has a kind of you admit okay the angels admit that they have no knowledge look how do I recite قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا One of the key points in recitation is to remember or to take a look at the meaning of the ayah, at the interpretation of the ayah. So if you understand this well, you will understand how to recite. If you know this, you will understand how to recite, for example, okay? قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ This ayah doesn't have any special rule because we know all of them, okay? So let's go to the next ayah. قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئُهُمْ أَنْبِئُهُمْ Again, that... What rule?
إقلاب.
إقلاب. It's easy. أَنْبِئُهُمْ B.S. أَنْبِئُهُمْ This is a new rule, okay, that we have not practiced. أَنْبِئُهُمْ Mim Sakin plus Ba. When Mim Sakin plus Ba we have, what rule is applied on Mim?
إخفى.
إخفى. Yes. Mim Sakin plus Ba, we have the rule إخفى. أَنْبِئُهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ أَسْمَائِهِمْ That wajib متصل مات. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ Again. أَنْبَأَهُمْ إِقْلَاب هم ميم ساكن plus با again إخفى فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدونها the rule قلقلي is applied here as well تبدون if we are skipping okay the words in this ayah because we have practiced them a lot okay so we don't need to make time practicing them because they are easy. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ كُنْتُمْ نُنْ سَاكِنْ plus تَا Hussein?
نُنْ سَاكِنْ plus تَا is...
The rule?
Is ha.
إخفاء. إخفاء. Superb. إخفاء. Fawad yes. helped you. Give thanks to Fawad. So, كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ إخفاء. So, before we end the session, do you want to listen to these verses again?
Yes.
Okay.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم قال يا وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we practiced these two verses. And inshallah, I hope you refer to the Tafasir book. Again, I'm saying this. And also, practice the Tajweed rules. See you inshallah in the next session. Stay with us, brothers and sisters who are listening to us. Hussein, Hassan, and Fawad. See you inshallah in the next session. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International School. See you inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjil farajah.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.